Soul Speak Living in Color, where we talk about inspirations, following your dreams, and what lights your fire. I'm your host, Sam Filia, Rainbow and Thunder voiceover. You can find me at samfiliavo.com. Hello, and welcome to Soul Speak Living in Color. Today's guest is Kurt Helsel. He is a multi-talented voice actor, artist. He told me that his main creative hobby is spray paint art, which is not something you hear every day. That's pretty cool. So he has a few voiceover samples, like a restaurant commercial sample. He has like a bunch of different commercials and like pieces put together on one track that you can find on his website. So Kurt Helsel, VO.com. You can go check it out, listen to his stuff. It's pretty good. I'll be linking his website down in the blog so you guys can go have a direct link for it. We'll get some social media so you guys can follow him and support him on his journey. He's going to be telling us about his hobbies, his journey in voice acting so far in artistry, and we're just going to have a good time conversation as we always do. So without further ado, Kurt, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you coming on here and responding to my call for guests.
Hey, not a problem at all. Honestly, yeah, I you caught me with that initial invite, you know, just I like the idea. Honestly, I was seeking some inspiration of my own, so it worked out for me too.
That's perfect. That's exactly what we're looking to do, because you know, a lot of people, it's a rough industry to be in any creative industry, really. But a lot of people get burnt out on it and they need inspiration sometimes. So this is what we're here for.
Absolutely.
So tell us about what you do as a voice actor. Like, how did you get into it? Why did you start? You know, what do you like about it?
Well, so I guess the best place to place it would be, you know, I've kind of always liked doing voices. I feel like a lot of us who do this have throughout our lives, but it really kind of started when I first got into the workforce. And the best way, you know, me and the buddies in the back found the way to pass time would be to just start random quoting different shows, yada, yada, yada. Then we started realizing, hey, you know, one or more of us can kind of get kind of close to this. This seems enjoyable. And I started looking into it more and more and more. And then next thing you know, I'm going to websites like, oh, I don't know if it's used as widely anymore, but, you know, just to kind of get my feel for it, Behind the Voice Actors, Casting Call Club, of course, started, you know, perusing around there. And then finally, I was like, you know, this stuff's fun. I'm realizing a lot of this stuff is for fun. It seemed to me a lot of the stuff I'd try out for or whatever, you accept it or not, you'd never tear hide nor hair of it. So you find out it was just, hey, we were just doing this for fun. So I got a coach. So I was like, I think I'm ready to take that next step. And I got this fantastic coach, Jun Yoon. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I haven't engaged with him or not, but I do follow him on like Twitter and he's Instagram.
He's got a real good model for businesses, you know, because you said it in your first podcast, you know, this is a business. This is ultimately what you're doing is you're running your own personal business. And he has a real good model for that. And that's initially what I approached him about. You know, I was, I felt comfortable, you know, you should always take acting training when you can get it, but I felt comfortable where I was acting at that point. And I needed to figure out how to advertise myself, because honestly, I'm terrible at it. If I'm being completely honest, I'm not very good at it.
Did you have acting experience prior?
Drama in school a little bit. But aside from that, it was really just drama class. I tried out for theater and all that. Unfortunately, I just never got accepted back then. I tried out for the improv group, didn't get accepted to that. But through drama, I stayed in drama class. I kept taking it, ended up doing a few in-class plays of a couple buddies, and we had a great time with it.
So it was cool that you kept up with it, even though you kept getting, I don't want to say rejected, just not selected, right?
Right.
And you're just I want to do it.
Exactly. And you know, it happens. I actually just received a rejection letter today. Crushing, of course. For one, because you're not, half the time you don't even get one. But there's actually a really nice silver lining to this rejection letter, because they offered me, you know, like, hey, you know, you can do a one-off part if you're interested, or hey, you know, we actually absolutely loved what you did. We regret having to send this to you because it just doesn't match up with, you know, another person's we've picked voice, or yada, yada, yada. And it actually had a really nice underlying message, which I guess I kind of had benefit to, because I've read of other people getting rejection letters and they're not near as nice as that. If you even get one, if you even get one.
Right.
Half the time you just.
And that's not even a rejection letter. Like, that's a, we like you, you're just not right for this part, but we're going to keep you in mind for next time.
Exactly. So naturally I wrote them right back. I was like, yes. Yes, please. Absolutely. Please.
I'll be like a pebble in your shoe.
But yeah, so that, I mean, yeah, that's kind of how I got my start and how the journey's progressing so far. You know, I've just been keeping at it. I can't say I've stuck to the guns as much as the next guy. You know, there was a Twitter post I read from a guy. He had gotten 50 accepted submissions this year. He had tried out for 490.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So that really puts a lot of things into perspective for me too, you know.
It's a guns ablazing kind of thing.
Yeah, you kind of got to learn to just fire them off and forget about them half the time. There's ones I'll show family members, like, I really like this audition. I'm like, oh, you ever figure out what happened with this thing? No, kind of just sent it and forgot about it. I like this one though.
No, I do that a lot too. I'll finish an audition, or I'll think of one that I did like a couple of weeks ago, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that one was really great. I didn't hear anything back, but I loved it. And I'll go down and show my boyfriend, and he'll be like, did you book it? No. But it was good.
You want to really mess with them, get you some anime background track. Just, you're not going to publish it or anything anyway. You're just showing your family an anime background track and throw it in the background real quick. You're doing a really long evil villain monologue. Definitely throw it back there and just, hey, take a look at this. This is awesome. Did you do this? No, none of this is mine. I just did the voice, man, but it's cool, right?
I play around a little bit.
You got to have fun with it.
I know you had mentioned to me that you've been dabbling in it for a few years. So how long have you been kind of working on it on and off?
Definitely 5 years on and off. I could trace it back easily to 5 years ago. Because that's really when I started. That's when I track my casting call submissions back to anyway. Yeah, all the way back here. And you can even follow the pacing on my account and see, like, okay, he did an audition here. He did like a sporadic burst of auditions for 3 months, got burnt out, went away for 7 months, came back, did another sporadic burst of 5 auditions. And honestly, having done that, the best I can say now, actually starting to book stuff and starting to get bit parts here and there, which is how it's going to come to you. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you land a huge, magnificent role immediately and good for you, man. That's awesome. But, you know, it'll come to you bits and pieces. Just do it when you feel comfortable is the best I can say. You'll be producing your best work.
And for me,
bottom line.
And I think for a lot of other people, I don't perform well if I'm burnt out, if I'm not in the right headspace, I've had a shit day. I've gotten to the point to where I've learned I don't need to go into my booth to do any auditions if I'm just not feeling it. Yep. So I will do something else. Maybe I need to work on editing a podcast, or maybe I need to do some email marketing, or, you know, anything that doesn't really require to act.
Yep.
And then, you know, when you're in the mood and you're feeling it, you're feeling good about yourself, then get in there and just earn through it all.
Whether that mood comes at 2 a.m. or 3 p.m, absolutely.
Exactly. If you're having insomnia, you can't fall asleep. Why not? Go upstairs.
Well, for me, the other day, probably drove my poor wife insane, but yeah, walked in the booth right at 2 a.m, like, let's do it. Let's knock something out. I'm wide awake. I can't go to sleep. I'm doing something. And yeah, I drove her insane. No, I don't even need to question. I know I did. She was sitting out there like, you're recording. I can't even yell at you about it.
So what genres do you do?
Kind of anything, really, to be honest with you. I try and I don't tend to go for romance, heavy drama stuff like that. So I'm just not comfortable with it personally as a voice actor. If I can do something, I've been mostly trying, you know, do books, action books, sci-fi books. Spent a lot of time on ACX trying out for those guys, and even, you know, e-learning stuff like that, commercial work, as far as voice work, for, you know, animation when I try out for stuff like that. Again, same deal, try and stay away from the romance side of things, try and go for, you know, your action, your stuff like that. Doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a particular style of animation. I don't care if it's American animation, Japanese animation, a flash cartoon, whatever, some student film. That doesn't bug me here nor there. Yeah, exactly. That the last thing I booked was a student film. Nothing wrong with that.
right. That's cool. So you and do a little bit of everything. What do you seem to be booking the most right now?
The most right now actually tends to be the little bit roles for the student films, as it would turn out. I've gotten about two of those, just, you know, hey, we're doing this thing with a 3D animation, we wanted to throw some voice work on it, yada yada yada. Hey, I'm taking this class in college, we're doing this, I need a voice for this, just showing my direction skills off for a machinima. Absolutely, let's get it knocked out for you. I have booked an audio podcast. That one, and that's the other ones I seen in the book, is more podcast style things, you know, just vocal only, audiobook style. Audio drama. That's what it's, my words escape me right now. Audio drama is what it's referred to. And I had just done this one earlier this year, playing the king of some elven country, which was fantastic. I knocked the fantasy role out and being a king out at the same time.
Heck,
but
yeah.
It was nice because he had kind of like a Vegeta thing to him, which I really appreciated. So he was very proud and arrogant. So it was a lot of fun to play that guy. And that's so far what it seems to be, you know.
Roles, you know, like I think that's really cool, and it brings up a great point in that no matter if you're a voice actor or a creative person, we'll do voice acting as an example since that's what we're talking about. You know, a lot of people who are being taught by professionals, they tend to look down upon student projects because they don't pay well or they don't pay at all. But I think that it's a great way to network, really, because they don't expect a whole lot from you. Like, they're not paying, they obviously don't expect you to be like some top tier professional voice actor. And when they graduate, they're more than likely going to be in a position at a company or their own company where they may be hiring you. They may be the creative director. They may be a producer. And they're going to remember that this person actually did a pretty good job and they didn't mind helping me out when I was a broke-ass college student. So let me see if I can go find him, if he's still in the business.
Absolutely.
I've heard of a couple of people of that happening to over the years, and I think that's a really cool idea. So do you do this part-time or full-time?
I do voice work part-time. Hence the 5 o'clock meetup time here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to do this full-time, but that's part of the process too. You eventually will get so much work that you have to look at your day job and be like, sorry guys, I'm gonna go with
that's
this.
The goal, right?
Yep, that's the goal. So I do work full-time and I voice act part-time, which, again, back to the sporadic nature of my postings sometimes, which is what I've worked on this year a lot, getting better about being so sporadic and you know, hey, let's just do one or two every couple of weeks and then we don't get burnt out as much,
right? So what's your full-time job?
And mind you, I'm in a transitional period because I am currently in a two-week process. So
no judgments here. It's okay.
Currently, I am working at the office of an electric company.
Neat.
I guess so. Taking off plans, bidding jobs, stuff like that, office work. Moving into, mainly because they actually offer good pay and they offer better hours, so I can get out and do some voice acting some more. Moving to an Amazon warehouse, actually, to move boxes around. So
nothing wrong with that.
Hey,
if it, like I said, furthers you to your goal,
they pay, they do more than pay the bills, and I'm gonna have more time off to actually do this stuff. I have a full 3-day weekend, take one day to just veg. There's 2 days of productivity ahead of me after that, and then straight back to work. I can deal with that.
Absolutely. I am for it. I like that plan. And, you know, we actually just last week had the episode with Brian Cook, and he is a full-time broadcast engineer, and he does part-time voice acting, and we were talking about the work-life balance of having a full-time job and trying to do voice acting and build that business on the side. I personally don't think that I could do it because that's a lot of stress. I am not built for
it
grinding my face to the ground.
It doesn't get too bad when you're just auditioning, but when you've actually booked a role and it's like, here's your deadlines. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really do that whole, I'm not in the mood to do this anymore. Okay.
I'm just not going to get any sleep.
That's kind of what happens too.
But oh my gosh.
That's sometimes the grind. You lose sleep for it.
You know, and that's, I think that's a good way to think about it, because you are an entrepreneur if you think about it. Even though you're working full-time or part-time or whatever at another company, you're still an entrepreneur because you're building your own business, whatever business that is. It doesn't have to be voice acting. It's anything.
Yep.
And two things at once, you're going to be putting in a lot of hours. So if you really want it, you're going to go for it.
I got bags under my eyes. It's okay, though. I don't mind.
We all do, don't we?
All us millennials.
Yeah. We're all tired.
All of us are deranged insomniacs, man.
Exactly. So you've been in this business on and off for 5 years. You've been dabbling in it. You've done a few roles, a few projects here. Sounds like you're mostly into animation. So what is a dream role? Like what's the one role that if you got it, you'd be like, this is it. I have come to the peak of my existence.
So honestly, I don't know if you can kind of see the poster over here, but I've hung a poster up here of my inspiration. I did it as soon as I put this booth together in this dang closet. But it's a picture of the crew from One Piece. And the reason I pick this show in particular, because I love all sorts of different anime. This is a really good show. That aside, there's always like a million characters to voice on this show. Every time I watch an episode, they're like, well, here's this new character. Here's this new character. Here's this new character. Here's this 200 episode arc with all these new characters. Oh, this episode arc's over. Here's 200 more new characters. Learn all these names.
That is if they needed more episodes.
But it's been running since I was a youngin. This show's been running since I was young. So being able to voice act a show I watched as a kid nowadays. Whoa.
That's the dream right there.
Any character on there, bit role or not, if I can land something on that show, that's the dream right there. That's good. I've made something enough to really impress myself with it.
That's awesome. I haven't actually seen One Piece. I watched one episode and I just could not get over all the yelling and the chaos.
So my buddy fought me to watch it. I told 6 months straight, he dogged me about it. I was like, man, I watched it when I was young. I gave the show 20 episodes. I just didn't dig it. And sure enough, it inevitably talks me into it. He's like, promise me you'll watch 100 episodes. And he wasn't a Dragon Ball Z fan at all. So, promise me you watch 100 episodes. And I promise you I'll watch 100 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. Like, you know what? Deal. I finished the English dub of this show. He has not finished Dragon Ball Z. It's what it is. I like what I like. This show's good. It took about 100 to get into it, though. It's one of those very slow building shows.
Oh my gosh, that is insane.
But interesting, some of the voice work on there, it's you know, don't watch 1,000 episodes of this show to pick apart, you know, like the few you'll hear. And I, for the life of me, could not tell you who voiced some of these characters, but there's this guy on there. You were mentioning the screaming. Well, this guy goes from like a scream to like a really dramatic low like this, and then back up to a high pitched thing. And it was honestly one of the most phenomenal bits of voice acting I've ever seen. Like, holy crap. There's another episode in it where there's this lady, the entire episode, she's screaming, "Please stop fighting." And it's like going throughout the entire background of the episode. And at first I was like, okay, you know, didn't think anything of the line. And after hearing it for 20 minutes straight, I was like, man, that lady's voice must be absolutely killing her right now.
Like, I would unless they put it on a roll, did it sound different each time?
It was different each time.
Oh, my gosh.
You could actually hear her strain towards the end of it because she'd been doing it in the booth for 20 minutes straight.
And, you know, she had probably been doing it for longer than that.
Absolutely.
We all know it's not usually just one take.
Oh no.
Oh man. That is so crazy. I mean, there's tons of anime like that where they have hundreds of episodes. Like we've watched Bleach. We're in the middle of Black Clover and Hunter x Hunter. Fairy Tail is my favorite. We are Fairy Tail guild members. We got the guild tattoos.
Nice.
So anime was actually the one thing that kind of made me realize it, as I'm sure you watched my first episode that was published, and I've been talking about how we just sit in there one night and I hear these voices all the time. Usually it's like, you know, Chris Sabat and a few others, and I'm like, oh my god, they do this for a living.
I enjoyed that you said that, because one of the first things my coach taught me, which is something I never actually sat down and psychoanalyzed, it was really interesting you said that in your first podcast, because that's what was mentioned to me, like, hey, listen to commercials, look at all these businesses down the side of the street. Like, how do you hear about them? You have to hear about them some way. Someone has to do that. Someone right. has to say, please come eat at Domino's. We'll pay you a lot. No, that's not what they'll say at all. But you get the point. That's the opposite. You'll pay them. You want to pay them. Right. This is why they give us scripts, man. My head's so damn scatterbrained. I'll just say stuff like that. I'm like, no. Redo it. Sorry.
That's why I need improv classes. I get brain fog all the time. So I'm like, oh, I need a script. I can't do it without a script.
So what I hate about improv too, you get the brain fog. When you're on a roll though, you're on an absolute roll. And it's...
See, I have a really dark humor that I don't allow out very much. So if I am just not thinking and I'm just on autopilot talking, I will say some truly obscene things.
So I totally understand that. You're absolutely hilarious to people that know you, but people that don't know you don't think you're funny. They just think you're an interesting person. Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah. Or they think you're like rude and sarcastic as hell.
Yeah, that's the one I get more often than not, depending on the type of person I'm talking to and how what mood I'm in.
I'm sorry if you ever caught me on a bad day.
Well, I'm not. I am what I am, I guess. But you
know. There you go. Don't be sorry for it. So tell me about your other passions. I know I briefly mentioned that you do spray paint art. You are an artist, so... Let's talk about that. And then anything else that you do as a hobby.
All right. So spray paint art. This one, I started that with my wife probably about 7 years ago. And I actually have like 40 of them ahead of me. I will attempt to pull one down if you'd like without disrupting the camera and the mic stand.
If you can, that would be great. If not, don't worry about it.
I'll pull a handful down here. Whoop. See what we got. Oh, perfect. A Zelda one.
Ugh. Oh, neat.
So we kind of just started, you know, we saw it and we actually attacked it with the foolish mentality of, oh, that can't be that bad. that looks so simple. That can't be that bad. We still have our first paintings. They're not displayed anywhere because they're terrible.
I don't doubt that. And for those of you who are listening to the audio only, I'll try to get pictures of these and post them in the blog for you to see.
But we just kind of started going. We watched a few YouTube videos on it.
I love that one.
We just happened upon it. This would be one of my wife's.
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh my gosh. I love galaxy paintings.
I have the tables handy, but they're kind of downstairs. I'm not going to be able to nab you.
Send me pictures.
I can send you pictures, absolutely. This one is upside down.
That's really neat.
That's just a handful. We got over 200 up above my head here.
Oh my gosh.
There is probably 20 some odd littered throughout my townhome right now.
That's really cool though. You guys have, like you said, you don't show the ones that you first did, but it looks like you've gained a lot of skill and experience.
That's exactly how it started. It's a cheap hobby. So honestly, if you're at all interested in it, definitely do it. It's super cheap. $20, you can make over 20 paintings. By the 20th one, I promise you'll have found something you like with it and you'll be good at it. Because it's difficult at first, but as you watch YouTube videos and as you start doing it, you start realizing, okay, I just drag it like this. Because that's a lot of what it is. It's fooling the eye with abstract art and abstract motions to make planets, backgrounds, what have you. Spray techniques, a lot of it spray techniques. Hey, I'm gonna spray this, slap a piece of paper over it. And a lot of these, you'll see YouTube videos of people setting their medium on fire in order to insta-cure it. They hover flame above it, but they'll like torch their paint cans. I don't do that. I've never felt comfortable doing it. I've never done it. If you need to let something dry, I just cure it. Spray paint doesn't take a long time to cure. Throw a fan on it, it'll be cured within 5 minutes. I promise you can spray over it and it's not going to pick the other stuff up.
I think that's more for when they're doing street paintings, right?
Yeah, I believe so. There's a guy I watch who's actually who we got a lot of our inspiration from after we started going. His name is Porfirio Jimenez. And he is this street artist. I'm not exactly 100% sure of his locale, somewhere South US, I believe. But he doesn't always do it in the street. He'll do it in a garage sometimes or what have you. And that is where we pulled a lot of our inspiration from. What type of paint is this guy using? Let's get his spray cans. They have all these nice colored tops on them. So I don't have to sit there for an hour and try and figure out what I'm using. And we learned a lot of decent techniques off of his work and watching his videos because the whole time he does it like he's a school teacher. He's like, and then we're going to do this. And you just kind of slightly apply pressure and bend it back. And then you move it up and down. And then you do this. And then we apply fire. And then he screams fire and everyone has a good time. But moved into that. We ended up spraying our own tables just for laughs, just to see how it would come out. Came out phenomenal. And then naturally we'd have buddies over or what have you, and they'd see the paintings. Hey, can you do this? Yeah, sure. How much? $20.
A little extra pocket cash, right?
To be fair, it is artwork. So that's the way I always looked at it. Obviously, if you're a good friend of mine, half the time I'll just hand these things off to people. Like, oh, you want that one? It looks cool. I have a stack of 200 of these.
Man. I do the same thing with
crochet. Please get it out of my house. Yeah. Please get it out. It's sitting in here and it's just taking up space. You want another one? Take another one. We've sold them to people at workplaces. We've sold them at the flea market. Just gone up there, rented a booth. Hey, set them all out. And so much for the small ones, so much for the big ones, what have you. Couldn't tell you how much we've made over the years. Just $25 here or there, minus the flea market times. Then it was like $100 here or there. We didn't stay terribly long. I'm not trying to stay out in the sun for 8 hours. I don't like that stuff. That's why I like voice acting. I get to be here in the air conditioning. And I don't have to look at anyone because I'm in a closet. Fantastic.
Right? You don't have to be followed by paparazzi because most people don't know who voice actors are.
Yep.
That's really, that's cool though. Is.
But yep.
And you know, I kind of do the same thing with my crochet. Like I just want to do it. I don't even charge people. I'm just like, oh, I think they would like this stuff. So I'm just here creating a whole bunch of stuff.
That's definitely a passion hobby. Definitely just, I blow off
so much time.
Whatever. I haven't been able to be creative for forever because of this or this. Go out there, it takes 5 minutes to spray something, come back. That's how half of them were produced.
Yeah. I think that's super efficient. It gets your mind out of the funk. My brother, he used to be fantastic at drawing anything. Like, I don't know if he's been practicing. He's probably not that great at it anymore, but he got all of the artistic hand coordination skills. I got the vocal abilities and the musical instruments. But I've always been super envious. I try to draw and I end up drawing stick figures or figures that are too fat or doesn't look good.
Yeah, I wish I could say the same thing about my freehand, or I wish I could say what your brother says about his freehand. I'm like you. I can't freehand whatsoever.
It's a skill. I'm sure he practiced many, many hours because he was super passionate about it.
Yes, it is. But my handwriting's terrible. I can't draw a straight line to save my life.
Me neither.
Seriously, if I was in a Saw game or something, if this was Squid Game, draw a straight line.
You might as well just kill me now.
Been fun, guys. Thanks. Everyone stand behind me, I guess.
So you do spray paint art, you do your tables, which he does a little commissions every now and then. So if you're open, then you can let the people know, like, hey, I take requests on occasion.
Absolutely.
That's why you guys got to follow the social media so you can get in touch. Just saying. But so are there any other hobbies that you do?
Yes. Yeah. I do a few. I am also, I'm not near as serious about it. Not to say I don't like doing it. I do produce music to a certain degree, like little beats here or there. It's nothing super comprehensive or anything crazy, like a little video game, random RPG jingles or what have you. That's nothing I do for, it's literally just for fun. Mm-hmm.
That's cool though.
Right, and that's just a very rare on occasion. Hey, I got the random bug. I'm gonna let's hop on the keyboard instead of doing anything else. What have you? I do enjoy that. Big into paintballing. Enjoy paintballing a lot.
Nice.
To the point where I've gotten actually quite a bit of expensive gear into it. Automatic gun and all, completely chipped. It's just mostly playing around the local field. I don't travel or anything for it. I don't try and get sponsored. It's just something I do for fun, because you want to really blow off some steam, man, go play paintball.
I've never done paintball specifically because I don't want welts all over my body.
That it, if you have the pain tolerance for it, and honestly if you're worried about it, I used to wear it. I stopped wearing it because I started realizing, like, oh, I can outrun these things a lot easier than I can just take the hit. You can get like battle vests and stuff, and then you really just have to worry about getting a hit in the hip and stuff like that. Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I'm so pain tolerant of now, I don't have a visor over my mask. It's just straight hair. And then I'm just wearing thin clothing and whatever lets me move as quick as I can.
Man, I tear up whenever I get even a tattoo. So I'm just, my pain tolerance is.
I can't say I haven't taken a hit that made me go home. I definitely took a hit that made me go home. I got caught at 5 feet. And rightfully so, because I wasn't giving up, damn it. But I was the last one. It was a really small course we have out here in the Mo. This really small course called Brickyard, and I'm sitting halfway up it, and everyone's gone on my side. Everyone's been wiped out, and I'm just getting surrounded, and I am not giving up. I'm just, no, no! And this guy comes running around the right of me, and I have actually in GoPro cam, where I literally just fall backwards,